Kayabiz with Guletu Mfuphi. On the street, on the air. On Kaya 959.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, you're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Well, if you've just joined us, where have you been? But you've actually joined us at the right time, specifically for individuals who might have a key focus on all things to do with the world of business, entertainment, media, and sports. And so often when we think of these, we think, well, is there really much of a business other than having artists as well as athletes earning a great salary and picking up a great and strong paycheck? Well, the truth is, this is why we're having this conversation, to really readjust and realign our thinking around the world of arts, entertainment, as well as sports, specifically within the context of the African continent. Today, it's a delight to have two amazing guests with us in studio. One who's very familiar to us. We've previously spoken to Sthe Mabanga in a different capacity regarding varying themes that have impacted South Africa's economy through COVID, through the lockdown, through the flooding, as well as the impact we saw in the province of KZN just over a year ago. And another special guest who joins me in studio, Professor Anita Albers, who's a Lincoln Fellow Professor of Business Administration at Harvard Business School, but also specifically focuses on the MBA course covering the business of entertainment, media, and sports. Thank you so much for joining us, both.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. It's going to be a very busy couple of days for the both of you, especially as we look forward to the first ever Africa Sport and Entertainment Summit. Sthe, this is your baby, something that you've launched not only in South Africa, but right across the continent. And there'll be conversations that will be held across this theme. Help us unpack what this particular summit is about and why now?
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for having us. Look, I think it's the perfect time to have the conversation. We've just come back from COVID, and we saw that the most impacted sectors were the sports and entertainment sectors. Mm. Even going back from a spectator perspective, you know, and outdoor activities were the last affected. And I think that demands that we sort of reset and rethink what does the future look like and what are the programs or mindsets that we can put together to collaborate. And these sectors, for me, they're synonymous with each other. And I think it's high time that we look, when we put a festival together, yeah, or when we put a motorsport event together, it's not just about the party. There's a lot that happens behind that. And I think in that, that's an economy in itself. And it's time that in the continent, we use our numbers, mm-hmm, and we look to the future. I mean, we are the youngest continent in the world.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we're consuming digital platforms. We're in the consuming phase at the moment, and I think we need to be in the ownership and equity phase.
Yeah.
And how do we begin to now construct that between those two entities? And I think after coming back from HBS with Anita, and my mind has always been, I was in a privileged position to be in a community that way. How does that then transcend and translate to having and giving opportunity to the rest of the continent and some of the peers that would not have had the same opportunity? And so how do we then open that up?
Exactly. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because you were part of the 2019 cohort, if I'm not mistaken, with the likes of Sierra and a couple of other...
I mean, you know, that was nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, it's a different world altogether. It's very difficult to explain it, but it's... And I think what Anita has put together in terms of the community, it really is a community, you know, and it's so supportive to each other. And I think we've been figuring it out, trying to figure out how do we not just stay on WhatsApp groups and actually live out loud outside and say, how do we support each other? And I think there's no one who does that more than she does. I mean, she's tracked all the way across the world just to make sure that we launch a successful summit.
Exactly.
And she's committed her time and herself to be here, and that's the real essence of what, you know, we are as a community at BEMS.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's discuss that even further with yourself, Professor Albers. And I think this is where we really want to get into the detail, right? Anyone who's had a look at your bio and profile would know that you have an extensive amount of knowledge when it comes to the business side of all things entertainment, arts, as well as media and sports. And for many, it might boggle the mind, specifically from an African point of view, as to how significant this is. So I'm hoping that perhaps give us some insight firstly into a day in the life of Professor Albers as you educate athletes, executives, and individuals within these spaces about the business side of the work that they do, and perhaps even refer to a few case studies that you've done, because boy, have you done a lot of work.
Yeah, wow, that's a difficult question. Well, first of all, I'm incapable of saying no to stay. So if he asked me to come to Africa, even if I'm on the other side of the world, I'll come to Africa.
Are we glad that you've made it post-pandemic, right?
Exactly. And no day for me is the same as the previous day. Every day is different. But I am in a very luxurious position that I get to teach some of the biggest stars on the planet. Some of the biggest stars have been in the classroom. And some of the biggest stars have been the focus of case studies. So I've done case studies on people like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade in basketball, but also clubs like FC Barcelona and Real Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain, which we're going to be talking about tomorrow. Musicians like Lady Gaga and Beyonce and Jay-Z have been the focus of case studies. And so it's a really amazing position I think I'm in to be able to say, let's take the learnings from some of the biggest companies and the most successful companies and some of the biggest names in the world of entertainment and help other executives understand what they have learned and hopefully educate a whole group of people across the world on how to make the most of entertainment. And then to bring that to the continent of Africa. And I was saying earlier, I think there's 1.2 billion reasons to come here and to really make sure that you make the most of the opportunities that you have here. So very excited to be able to play my part in that.
Yeah. I guess for anyone who's listening right now and perhaps, trying to imagine some of the outcomes from the case studies and even your book, Blockbusters, Hitmaking, Risk-Taking, and the Big Business of Entertainment, we're intrigued to find out, is there a golden thread, a secret source to the successes of some of these large media as well as sports entities that you often refer to, whether as individual brands or as companies themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there is. I think one major finding of the research I've done is that if you look at the most successful companies and people in entertainment, they are not afraid to go all in. We have this expression in the United States and maybe here as well, this notion of don't put all your eggs in one basket,
yeah.
Right? Play it safe. In the world of entertainment, you have to think the exact opposite. Be willing to take big risks. Be willing to make big bets. Don't be afraid to spend $200 million on a film. Don't be afraid to spend most of the year trying to get one album out.
That's such a contradiction for many people in business, right?
Exactly. But that is what works in the world of entertainment.
Yeah. Other characteristics, and I recall that you've mentioned in some of your videos that Dwayne Wade in particular is one that stands out, together with a couple who founded Magnolia Television, if I'm not mistaken, that also stand out in terms of how they participated in the program. And that following that, the growth projection of their participation was quite significant.
Yeah, absolutely. Chip and Joanna Gaines are those people behind that television show, and now they actually have their own television network. Chip is Stay's best friend.
Oh, wow.
They were reading cases at 3 a.m. He was telling me in the car earlier today when they were in the program together. They were also 2019, that same cohort. It's amazing to see how we think of these people as on-air talent, or we think of these people as basketball players, but what they've become is business moguls, right? They run companies and very often sizable companies. They have ownership stakes in the companies that they work with, or they have, as in the case of Chip and Joanna Gaines, they have an entire television network and they get to decide who else they give business to and who else they put on the air. So it's quite amazing to see that evolution.
Very true. You mentioned the 1.2 billion number, which obviously speaks to the population on the continent. But the challenge is we've got great individuals, great content creators, great innovators and athletes as well. But is the environment conducive? Because there might be a few South Africans who say, well, hey, the market in South Africa and the continent really isn't as nimble as what we witness in the US. Are there some learnings that you can share? And perhaps, Tear, this is also where you can come in to underscore why this conference is of such significance to actually open up our eyes to really see these sectors as key economic contributors.
Yeah, maybe if I have a go at that, I think there's just value in numbers.
Yeah.
So I think we've operated in a very sort of segmented way. And I think, we are, 60 million people in this country, but at SADC there's 380 million of us, right? So, and these are all places we can actually drive to.
True.
Right? So I think once we start doing collaborations in those markets, we actually realize that if you've got a production in South Africa and it's no longer sort of managed, it's on your own platform, you can sell it in whatever markets that you like, right?
So definitely.
We locations, you know, you can go from Zimbabwe to Mozambique to Angola for shooting locations. So I think even the consumption of new sports, I mean, we'll be launching indigenous sports as mainstream sports post the summit.
Yeah.
Right? So we complain about kids being on the phone all the time, but we've never transferred how you used to play when you were younger into a more relatable space now and then commercialize that.
Mm.
Right? So even when you look at the major eventing space in the country today, most of it is actually not even South African owned. Right? So
true.
So the people that are operating major events on the ground are not even, you know, in. So you've got funds that are coming externally or individuals coming externally to take care of those opportunities. I think it's time that Africans are able to realize that working together, realizing different markets, combining efforts,
yeah,
resources, is what would get us long, sustainable growth areas. And sports and entertainment, I mean, the stats that I saw, they probably pre-COVID, is that just music was at $40 billion a year.
Sure.
Right? So a lot of it, probably 90%, is externalized, right? So it leaves the continent.
Mm.
So how do we start owning our own platforms? How do we use digital platforms to scale? How do we ensure that all this equity and ownership is actually in the continent? And it just takes us knowing that we can work together. We know what we're all doing. We collaborate. We bring people that are willing to say, look, I see an opportunity in how I can empower and how I can partner meaningfully. And we do that. And I think that's the essence of why we've done the summits, and that's the vision. It's not about myself. It's not about Prof. Anita. It's about people that will come there and get the information, and that sparks an action to move forward.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we want, sparking action, and of course, this being a catalyst to further growth and development that we can witness. Prof. Anita, it was a very busy weekend in South Africa and really the continent. There was Global Citizen happening in Ghana, if I'm not mistaken. What is popularly known as the DSTV Delicious Festival here in South Africa. And all of these do speak to that particular theme of entertainment, media and sports. But I want to throw in a spanner in the works. Stair's got his phone up. I think many of us are well aware that digital technology, social media and all these platforms have essentially created this culture of content creators. But how does this throw a spanner into the works when it comes to the business side of entertainment, sports as well as media? Is it still, I guess... Does it democratize access to some of these spaces?
Yeah, it certainly has the potential to do so. And I think it's up to the major players in the markets to see how we can shape this to the advantage of populations and to the advantage of those individual creators. I am really, really excited about the potential for that technology. I mean, if we look at the continent of Africa, I mean, it's a leader in terms of mobile technology, right? You were way ahead in terms of adoption, even compared to European countries and compared to the U.S., for sure. And so I think there's just tremendous potential that exists in the marketplace here. Stay mentioned music. I mean, there's Nollywood. So you guys have been leaders in movies for quite some time. What's happening now with the NBA saying, hey, Africa is a continent that we really need to make sure we are present and we need to grow. So sports is getting there. We've obviously had the World Cup in South Africa. So there's just enormous amount of potential. And I'm really, really excited about tapping into that potential and hopefully contributing to it in some way.
I'm hoping you can also share a few lessons with us regarding the sustainability of these sectors, of the businesses and even the individual brands that exist, because it's one thing to have a great festival or one particular once-off sporting occasion, but how do we drive or create a sense of sustainability to these businesses for the long term?
Yeah, I think that requires thinking through what are the right strategies, right? It's sometimes easy to someone will land up on a hit. At some point, someone will. Those are the odds. But it's really hard to create the second and the third and the fourth. If you want to do that on a consistent basis, you need to know what strategies work and what strategies don't work.
Mm.
So at the end of the day tomorrow, our participants will know how to run these great strategies. And so they'll go on. And
give us
and
a teaser for those who might not be there.
I can't give away all the lessons.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure that they're going to emerge smarter after just one day.
Fantastic.
They'll do great things.
Definitely. It's exactly what we want. And I guess coming back to how this environment, or rather opportunity relationship, comes full circle, Teh, for those who are keen to participate tomorrow, where do they get tickets? What are the details? Who should be participating? And I guess what mindset should they also come to the table to?
Yeah, so first of all, the tickets are available on our website, which is ase-summit.com, but also on Ticket Pro platform. So they're still available. And I would say that if you are a stakeholder in the space, you know, whether it's you're from a brand side, you're from a rights holder, or you coming from even a talent side, you are an aspirant player in the space, come through and just, and I think when you're around people that will spark your interest, you're thinking of starting something, or you even in, you are in academia. I mean, we've got a diverse panelist that will talk from asset management to financing, to looking at the business side of how to invest in some of these platforms.
Got you.
To rights holders, to academia, to people that are in the movies and developing films. So there's a nice mix of people that will contribute later in the day. But the cases themselves, I mean, if you look at PSG, which is, you know, they've built a brand around their megastars, to the streaming wars, in how the on-demand platforms are growing, to the leadership story of Toto Wolff and the Mercedes team and F1, which is a high topic in this country at the moment. So I think there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
And so, it might be good to know that we're doing this the Harvard way, right? We're not cutting any corners. We're going to do this exactly the way we do this at the Harvard Business School. So we're going to be running case discussions. It's not me telling everyone what I know. I will do that at some point, but everyone participates. So there's actually a little bit of homework that is involved as well. The moment you sign up, you get the case studies.
Yeah.
So you want to read those case studies before you come, and then we're going to make this really, really interactive.
Fantastic. I like that, because as you say, it's stimulating the thought, which is actually going to propel individuals into action. To close off with, though, Professor Anita, I'm keen to get your thoughts as we talk about these various stakeholders. And so often we just tend to focus on the talent, right? It appears as though, as Teh has described, there's an ecosystem to the success. And as you've described, you need to go in full on without being too hesitant about any of the risks that might be entailed. But help us understand this value, this the community or the ecosystem that has actually brought about the success of some of the brands that you'll be discussing tomorrow and others that you've made reference to in previous case studies.
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand everyone who comes into play here, right? So it's not just the company that might put a product in place. It's not just the Hollywood studio or the record label that puts an album out, but it's also all the creative people who are involved. It's the agencies that have those creative people on their rosters and that help them come to great contracts. It's the sponsors and the advertisers that are going to be brought into the mix very often. It's the consultants that come into play. So it's the distributors, it's a real big ecosystem of different players. And I think the idea is that everyone who's in that space should find something of value tomorrow.
Yeah. I love how you're shifting the narrative, right? So often we think athletes, superstars, and artists can't be in the business space, or they don't think in a business manner. But this, of course,
is... Or radio personalities, for that
right,
matter. But I thought you were in the business space as well, so you know more about that than we both do.
There we go, distilling myths, right? Really appreciate your time, and of course, I'm looking forward to the insight that you'll share with us tomorrow, and just the growth that this will also propel within the context of the African continent and the outcomes that we're looking to see. And thank you for accepting Teh's invite.
Thank you. No, it's great to be here. I love being in South Africa.
Fantastic.
You.
That's Professor Anita Albers, who joins us from the Harvard Business School, primarily focusing on an MBA course covering business of entertainment, media and sports. And of course, Teh Mabanga, who joins us in his capacity as the founder of what will be the Africa Sport and Entertainment Summit, taking place at the Maslow Hotel tomorrow, the 28th of September. He's also a well-known South African businessman who's contributed to various spheres and spaces within our economy. Thank you both for deciphering this very important conversation, and hopefully this sets the agenda that media, entertainment and sports in South Africa and beyond our borders can really be considered as a key enabler to economic growth and a creator of jobs and entrepreneurs too.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.